This morning is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. So if you have a Bible on your phone or a Bible with you, you can follow along. It's also up there, surprisingly. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for the evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse upon you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Father, you know our hearts, and we thank you for your word this morning.
Thank you for the scripture reading, Mark. Well, this morning I have given the sermon of my the title of my sermon, Radical Obedience. Now, I realize that those are two words separately that might scare people. The word radical scares some people, and the word obedience scares some people. And this morning I've actually put them both together. But I assure you, do not be afraid of this. I'm doing that to make a point, and it's simply about, we're going to be talking about walking by faith in our actions. Now, I do want to do a quick review of what we, especially what I was speaking about last week, just going to touch on a few things just to bring us up to speed, just because that'll help us with this morning's topic, to lay the foundation, again, moving forward. So, 2 weeks ago, I started the series called Strong Foundations, and we asked the question, how do I see God? And we addressed how a wrong concept from God can actually help keep us back from developing an intimate relationship with God. And that without a healthy concept from God, we may be saved, but we will never be able to live the abundant life that God truly has for us. And so this morning, that's exactly what I'm going to be going after, about being saved, but living the abundant life that God does have for us, that he promises us. And by living the abundant life that God promises us through grace, by faith, so that we can experience the goodness of God's love, we know that he is good and that he is love. And I also said last week, we talked about God's grace and how that God sees us as righteous, that we are in perfect right standing with God. And it's so incredible to think that humbleness is actually a position of right standing with God. It's awesome. And this is what makes Christianity, if you will, different from any other belief system. So every religion in the world is based on works. And Christianity is based on grace. And that's why we call the Bible the good news. It's the good news. And I might even say Christianity shouldn't even be called a religion, because it's not. It's a relationship with God. Everything else is based on works. Every other belief system in the world is based on works. And just like humility is the root that produces the fruit of the Spirit, grace is the root that works, and the works are fruit. So grace is a root. Is that a bird? A bat. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I do not know how to catch a bat. That's a good sized bat as well. If my girls were here, I think they'll be back, but they'd probably be under the pew right about now. So it might fly around a bit. It's a good size, so it has some energy. It might take a while to settle down. Anyway, don't let it distract us this morning. We're going to press into what God has for us. Amen. So humility is a root that produces the fruit of the Spirit. And grace is a root that produces the works of fruit. So we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. And works are the fruit. This is a first. This is a first. What's that? That's right. So again, we are in right standing with God, not because we do right things, but we were in right standing with God because Jesus has already done right things for us. Thank you, Jesus, that he's the one. He died on the cross. He has forgiven us of all of our sin, and that's why he came, to have relationship. And this sermon on obedience, it's not to preach legalism or wrath or judgment. It's not to preach judgment or rejection or punishment if you don't do everything right. Again, I talked about that being the wrong side of the cross. And that how it's not New Testament grace. If it lands on me, just tell me. Someone tell me. I might need to get my son up here to swat it away at me while I'm speaking. Does anyone know how to catch a bat? Dwight does. There we go. Everyone okay? Oh. You didn't think you'd come and get entertained at church this morning, did you? All right. I think they got it, which is great job. All right. We're good? For those of who are live streaming, There was a bat flying around, a good-sized bat. They just have to get a ladder, okay. All right. Should I keep on going? Are you guys ready? Okay. So again, this topic, when I use the word obedience, it's not to to speak judgment on anyone because, again, last week, if you missed that sermon, go back and listen to it because it is so foundational in a Christian's life that we're saved by grace and not by works. Again, that is the wrong side of the cross. And again, it's not New Testament grace. And if anything, works can be a ditch on one side, but just because of grace and redemption, we can't get into the ditch on the other side that says we can live and or we're free to sin because of grace. That's not what the Bible says either. And as it reads in Titus, I love this verse, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And we have it on PowerPoint. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodly and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us, from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his good, or his very own, eager to do what is good." So this scripture means being radical and obedient, rooted in God's grace. I love how it starts out, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." So again, this morning I'm going to be talking about walking by faith in our choices. I believe that simply walking by faith in Christ will be a radical ultimate adventure, if you will, in this life. Christ Jesus is our example. Now think about Jesus when he prayed in the garden. He said this, he said, "Father, if possible, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He knew what the will of God was for his life. And there was a time that he said, "Lord, is there any other way? I don't want to necessarily do this." Now, it's not that his calling was different than ours. God called him to the cross. He doesn't call us to that cross, but to follow him and the cross, okay? Again, Jesus chose the will of God and followed it with radical obedience. So we don't walk blindly, we walk by faith and we trust in God. And again, that's what I'm talking about, faith and trusting in God. We have to trust that whatever God asks us to do will ultimately turn out for our good. Now, we may not understand it. Mark, you kind of talked about this morning. We may not understand it. We may not get the harvest right away, but I'm here to tell you, even as a living example from the Word of God, that if you make a decision today to get radically obedient to Christ and the Bible, to fall in love with the Bible once again, that you will live a life that you never thought possible. What I'm talking about is getting rid of those little compromises. I'm talking about living with a good, clear conscience before God at all times and taking every single day to make better choices and if you will, to connect your faith with what God is doing. Knowing that we're completely saved by grace, but that we're making biblical choices and we're living a life of grace unto God, because it blesses the heart of God and it actually makes God our Father happy. And that's what I was talking about when I was speaking on worship. It's a lifestyle that pleases God our Father. I said this last week as well. God has not come to condemn us of our sin, but to forgive us and tell us to turn from it. And that as we accept him, that he makes us righteous through the cross. And that God came to actually bless us. Now, if this is all true, then why doesn't everyone live as if it's true? And again, we need to trust fully that God's ways are bigger and better than ours. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 3, which is our core scripture that we read at the beginning, says this, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their lives for earthly lives for human evil desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do. So what is our attitude? Our attitude is that we're done with sin and that we live for the will of God. Does that mean we'll never sin? No. But our attitudes are that we're pressing into the will of God and what he has for us. Where do we find what the perfect will of God is? From the Bible. The Bible is full of God's will. And simply reading it, getting to know it, teaches us how to live. I am so thankful for the Word of God, for the Bible as it directs us our paths. Acts 24:16 in the NIV says this. It says, "So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." And that's the NIV. In the King James Version, it says, "I exercise myself." So it uses those two words. I strive to keep my conscience clear, and I exercise myself. It says, I strive my conscience. And again, God cannot do this for us. When I think of striving, I think of going after something. Exercising, making a plan, going after it, pressing in. We don't just glorify God when we come to church to worship. We glorify when we're obedient to God in our everyday life. When we welcome him into our choices, in the leading of God's will for our lives every single day. As we reflect Christ in our community and the people around us. So we need to be Christians who are happy also about being obedient to Christ. And don't get weary about doing good. The world will know that we are Christians by our love. That's right. Now, kindness and goodness, they're fruits of the Spirit. And they will actually be attractive to other people, right? The fruit of the Spirit, as you mature in Christ, people will take notice. They'll notice there's a difference. That will be attractive to people. Again, hang out with Jesus and his word. Get in God's word. And you'll become more like him in every single way, naturally. The fruit of the Spirit will just show up naturally. It's not that you're not trying to sin. It's that you're just naturally start making choices that line up with the word of God. Remember, you already have the fruit in your life as a Christian. It's one fruit. You have all the fruit of the Spirit in your life because God has already done that for us. You know what else it means? It means that as Christians, as we mature in Christ, that we need to stop fighting over small stuff. Again, in 1 Peter, are we living like this? Love, that love covers a multitude of sins. Now, so many of us look at obedience as a bad word. I have to be obedient to my parent or my boss or maybe even that police officer that just pulled me over to give me a ticket. You know, that's what they think. Oh, obedient. And many times we think that it's God just trying to get us to sin less. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God's calling to us to, this obedience that I'm talking about to the word of God is not a bad thing. If anything, it's for our own good, for our own protection. The Bible is God's love letter to us. I was a youth pastor many years ago, for almost 7 years, and I used to explain it to youth this way. I used to say, "Does anyone here love sports?" And usually in a crowd, there would be someone who loved soccer. Anyone here love soccer? Soccer, right up there. Think of your favorite sport. Now imagine taking the rules away from the game of soccer. What do you think the game would be like? And I'd ask this to youth. And they think about it. And they're like, imagine you didn't know what the boundaries, what was in, what was out. Imagine you didn't know who was on your team. Can you use your hands? Can you not? Are you allowed to, you know, I don't say fight like in hockey, but are you allowed to push? And usually when you break it down, if you took all the rules away from the game of soccer, you know what it makes it? Confusing. It makes it chaos. And it makes it not fun. The rules of soccer actually make the game fun. And I imagine the same with driving. What the world would be like without traffic lights. It would be chaos. We wouldn't be able to exist that way. But those boundaries around us make it fun. I remember turning 16 and I could not wait to drive. It was so exciting. Psalm 119, verse 32 says this, I run in the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Now the words commands and free, guess what? They're in the same verse. I run the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free. God's commands set us free. Radical obedience, the way God tells us to live from the Bible, again, is God trying to get us to enjoy our lives. God is never trying to take away. He's always trying to add to us. I run. It's something beautiful and attractive and extraordinary, right? You think of running to water or running to a friend that you haven't seen in a long time, even if you have to wear a mask these days, right? God is never trying to take away from us, but he's always trying to add. And everything that the Word of God tells us is for our own benefit, our own good. Psalm 103 talks about God's benefits this way. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I love that. Satisfies your desires with good things. God wants to satisfy your desires. Is that crazy to think about? It's in the Word of God. With good things, when we do things his way. That's why he's given us his word, to show us how to live. The benefits of God are awesome. I like to relate the benefits to a blessed marriage. Intimacy, yes, it's wonderful, but it's so much more than that. Because when you're in love with someone, you have relationship and your purpose is found in that person. Amen? Married people? I love serving my wife. I live to make my wife Danielle happy. I love the benefits of our children, and all the fruit of the Spirit show up in our marriage and through my family. I literally experience God's love through my children, through my family. Isn't that awesome? Again, all my desires are fulfilled. All of our desires are fulfilled through relationships. And God shows us, teaches us so much about relationships in his word. We're reminded that the love of God and how we find our purpose in him, and by the benefits they show up in our day, in our everyday life, and it's awesome to wrap our heads around. Now, some of the things that the Bible calls us to do can be very hard. So I don't want to paint a picture that it's easy either, because life is not easy, right? But if anything, God teaches us how to deal with the hard things of life. Is it hard to forgive someone? Absolutely. We can go through hard situations where forgiveness can feel like the most impossible things. But that's where God helps us. He's with us. He gives us the strength and the power to forgive the most impossible situations. You know what? It's harder not to forgive someone because we're the ones living with that. For some of you here, it might mean forgiving yourself or learning to love yourself. The Bible challenges us many times in many ways that it does mean work. But if we hit those hard things head on, we will see the Lord show up in those situations. Amen? By doing so, we set a high standard for our lives. We allow God to work greatness through our circumstances. God sees things differently than we do, and he knows the big picture of each one of our lives. And how does it work? To be honest, I can't tell you it all because I'm too small. Mark, like you prayed, the world is so huge. We'll spend eternity being able to understand it. But I do know that if I live according to how God wants me to, good things will happen. It produces good fruit. Why? Because God promises it. If you could see the end result in every single situation, I believe that you would choose to follow him with everything that you have in your life. It's been said this, I've heard this quote, the most spiritual activity you will engage in today is to choose. We are called to walk by faith, and radical things happen by people who walked by faith. Just read Hebrews 11, and you'll be able to read all about the incredible things that God worked through people. Well, I do have 3 points today. I'm just going to touch on them briefly. And point number one, the real power of life is not the freedom to choose, but making choices that give you freedom. Oh, that is powerful. There's one thing you can walk out and remember this morning. The real power of life is not the freedom to choose, but instead making choices that bring you freedom. We all have the power to choose, to make choices. But not all of us make choices that bring us freedom. Now, in youth ministry, I heard youth say all the time, well, it's my choice. I can do what I want. It's my body. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want, right? But when you think you have the power to get drunk and get behind a wheel, and then you get thrown into jail, or maybe you even kill somebody, you have just limited your freedom. That is a bad choice. If you're 15, 16, and you decide, and you happen to get pregnant, that will limit your freedom. Now, I don't say that to pour condemnation on anyone, because by the grace of God, we can be free. God can give us strength. He's here to help us through any situation, through the craziest of situations. I'm thankful for churches. A lot of you know that I was a part of Gateway Church. They're in 150 prisons in the U.S. right now. They're including the largest prison in the United States. And they've seen, in their first 6 months, they saw over 500 inmates come to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? God can change any situation. One man, one 17-year-old murdered a husband, a man that went to Gateway. His wife, that young man was sentenced to life in a Texas prison. That wife started praying for that young man. He went to a Gateway church service that he didn't know that they went to Gateway. He went to a Gateway church service and became a Christian. And it ended up that she found out and she brought her whole family to watch him get baptized, to bless him. Isn't that awesome? Now, the examples I gave, they might be extreme examples, but they work in simple scenarios as well. Contrary to popular belief, there are still consequences for every action. If you treat a friend poorly, if you lie, if you cheat, if you steal, walls will be built up, guaranteed. It happens all the time with friends, with families. We need to make choices that bring us freedom, not just now, but for eternity. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, choose life, so that you and your children may live." You can almost feel a heartfelt call of God, choose life. God cannot choose for us. Think about the Garden of Eden. We have a tree. It's a tree of knowledge, or of good and evil. And there are all these other trees. And Adam and Eve could have eaten from all those trees. But there was one tree that God told them not to eat from. He said, if you eat of this, long story short, it will limit your freedom. And it did. Remember, the real power of life is not freedom to choose, but making choices that bring you freedom. If you've ever accepted Christ into your life, that is a choice that will bring you freedom, not only in this life, but for eternity to come. It's the most important decision that you can make in your life to bring you freedom. It's where it starts. It doesn't work through just being a part of a church, but truly accepting the truth of salvation for your own life. As Christians, we believe that God will take care of our every need. I know I want to use the example of tithing. The Bible has lots to say about how we use our money, and it does talk about giving back to the Lord. And when Danielle and I got a hold of this concept, it literally revolutionized our giving. We got excited about giving our 10%, our tithe to the church every week. And was it hard? At first, yes, because things were tight. But we saw God show up and provide for us in ways that I can't even explain. It just welcomed God into our finances. It was awesome. You might not know where you're headed, but God does. And again, he can make incredible things happen out of the most incredible, the unusual situations. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Hallelujah. Let God be your guide and you will miss all the wrong places. Now this brings us to point number two. Remember, God still makes incredible things happen out of nothing. I've kind of talked about this already, but in modern day lives, but in the Bible, Jesus put mud on the eyes of the blind and they could see. God spoke to Balaam through a donkey. If God can use a donkey, he can use any of us. Amen? Don't be offended. Did I say that? Anyway. He used fishermen, everyday ordinary people, to do great and radical things. God can use you to change your world, change your school, change your work environment, your family, your friends, your atmosphere, everywhere you go. It doesn't matter how insignificant you feel or how many mistakes you've made or what mistakes you've made. God can turn things around when we welcome him into our lives every day. Now, the enemy will come against us and tell us things like you're too strict or old-fashioned or boring or maybe even too good for others because you don't or won't live like they do or like you used to. But as we exercise our faith, we automatically start doing different things. Things that might have not had a problem with before, we turn from those. We might have had conviction over things that we used to do, but they're normal to people who conviction is normal for God, who people who are pressing into God. Why? Because it's called maturity. We're all called to mature in Christ. We have stronger relationships. You'll be trusted by family and coworkers so much more. People will know that you're not just a fly-by-night, but that you stand for something and you expect good things. A couple more scriptures I want to touch on. I love 1 Peter 4, it says this, "They are surprised that they do not join them in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Stand for what's right. Then you win, even if you lose. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Takes us to point three. Be radically obedient to love each other deeply. As 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. The Bible even goes to the point where it says, pray for your enemies. Have you ever tried to pray for your enemies? It's a hard thing to do. And it can be a process. But try it. It's amazing how God, you welcome in God in that situation, and he can even change the hardest of heart. Matthew 5, 44 and 45 in the New King James Version says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Again, what about blessing those who curse you? If someone ticks you off, turn around and say, bless you. Jesus is bigger than we are. He knows everyone's life, and he knows how to turn a situation around. He is for us. He loves us. He is good. Remember, your priority is Christ and to live for him. I heard a story of a pastor who had, I heard the story just this past week. Someone came up to him after a service and said, will you pray for my marriage? Because my husband is wanting to divorce me. And he goes, okay, you know. And he started talking to her, and he came to the point where he said, wait a minute, are you a Christian? Have you accepted Christ? And she said, oh no, I don't want you to pray about that. I just want you to pray for my marriage. And this pastor said to her, do you realize that if you die right now, you will not be 2 minutes in hell that you realize that your priority of this marriage is not first and foremost? You won't even care about this if you don't first choose to follow Christ. And it almost was like it shocked her. And she goes, you're right, I need Jesus in my life. And she accepted Jesus. And then the pastor turned around and prayed for her marriage, because God does care for her marriage. We need to know our priorities. This past week was an incredible week in the Olympics. Did anyone watch the Olympics? The Olympics are awesome. Watching André de Grasse win the gold medal was amazing. Watching the women's soccer. Anyone watch women's soccer? Wasn't that, did it put you on the edge of your seat? I love the announcer. He's like, I am losing my mind. And I looked at my wife. Danielle's not here, but she was losing her mind. She like could barely watch, you know. She was so excited. And watching them win gold, and the athletes that won gold, they were crying tears of joy. They were so happy. And I was so excited. Emotion touched anyone that was watching to the heart, to the core of a person. Well, I have good news this morning. The Olympics does not compare to winning with God. And a future in heaven. And the amazing thing is Jesus has already won the gold for us. He's given us the highest prize. And he's given it to us. How do you think it would affect those athletes if they knew that gold was already theirs? You know what would happen? I bet most of them would train all the harder. It's not that they would relax. Those athletes, they would press in all the more. And that's exactly what God is calling us to do. That's what this sermon is about, being radically obedient. Going out and living for Jesus every day. Forgiving people that you don't want to forgive. Pressing into situations. Praying for enemies. And it's as simple as saying, Jesus, come into my life. I put you first in my life. I want to follow you. Lord, I welcome you into this situation. God will meet us where we are. And God can do incredible things through our life. That's where it starts, right here at the foot of the cross, right here in our hearts. If you're here this morning and you want greatness in your life, then seek God's will, because in turn you will find both. You'll find greatness and you will find God's will. And there is no greater place to live than in God's will. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that shows us how to live. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts more and more each and every day as we leave here, as we're involved in situations, Lord. We welcome you into those hard situations where we don't know what decision to make. And we're people who say, Lord, we want to be obedient to you. We want to make you happy. We want to bless your heart. And we choose to follow you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts to soften our hearts so that we can bless those people that we might not want to bless in our life. So that we can open up our lives for you to move and to work greatness. Lord, give us strength to make choices, to follow you, and to get along with our brothers and sisters and our families. And Lord, be the center of this church and the center of our lives. We proclaim you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to welcome the worship team back up at this time. Let's stand and sing.